radio broadcast, a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Joel, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word.
Even the Catholic churches, those folks have their faith in a wafer. And their faith in the wafer is that's how they get grace. I'm not mocking it. I'm saying that's what they believe. They believe if they die not properly disposed, having been given communion and last rites, they go into purgatory or even perhaps into hell or fire because they're not shored up. And if they're in purgatory, they're there longer. And they were not meeting. And by the way, a week or two ago, the Pope said same-sex relationships are fine. You heard that, right? I'm telling you, the masks are coming off. We hate God. We hate the church. We got to shut them up because we've got the psychology people saying now the mental illness is not homosexuality. The mental illness is anybody who believes homosexuality is a mental illness. That's what we're getting today. Isn't it crazy? You and I are living in those times. Recently in Sweden, they actually passed a law. You can't spank your kids. And if you see somebody spanking them, you call the law. And they can be put in jail for spanking their children. That's a law in Sweden. I'm telling you, crazy times. The Bible says multitudes, multitudes, verse 14. In the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. Now may I say to you, this is not the valley of decision in the sense of they're going to make a decision. They're already there. They've made their decision. This is the valley of decision in the sense that God now is going to pass down the verdict. This is the valley of decision. This is where God puts down the verdict. He's going to wipe out the armies of Antichrist. We see it in Zechariah chapter 14, what it's going to look like on the ground, where people are going to be standing with their swords in their hands. They're going to turn toward each other and slaughter each other. But while they're still standing there, their tongues are going to dissolve in their mouths. Their eyes are going to dissolve in their sockets. And their skin is going to dissolve before they ever hit the ground. Because he just speaks the word. That's what's happened. That's the verdict. You think there's a hell? God says, pay attention. Watch what I did at Sodom and Gomorrah. Watch what I did in the days of Noah. Watch what I'm going to do. It's written in the Holy Word of God and in that day. The Bible says in verse 15, the sun and the moon shall be darkened in the sky, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. Again, this harkens back to Revelation 6, verse 12 and 13. The Bible says, and I beheld, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. God's going to do a thing that never is seen. The Bible says, and the Lord also shall roar, verse 16. He shall roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem, and the heavens and the earth shall shake, but the Lord will be the hope of his people. The entire world comes against him. And as they come, it looks like all is lost, but the Lord shall roar. Do you realize he's going to be here? The second coming of Jesus is coming. And he's coming physically, bodily, literally. And we're going to be here with him because he's coming with the armies that are in heaven, which is us. We're coming with him, and there's going to be angels and us and different segments of some other peoples that he and he alone knows. The Bible talks about the spirit of just men made perfect and all of that in Hebrews chapter 12. You've come unto a city. I mean, Moses and Elijah and Daniel and all those guys are going to be in their armies. They're going to come because he's coming from heaven. We've been in the wedding feast, but he's raising up everybody in that day to come back. And he's going to be the one who does the work of the fight. We're just going to be the witnesses of the fight. He's going to roar, and when he roars, they're going to melt, literally. Not in heart, but literally, physically melt. Because he said, time shall be no more. Judgment now. Bible says that the Lord will be the hope of his people. And this is the beauty of this passage. Because as he ends it up, he says, the Lord will be the hope of his people. Do you remember what happens? We saw it a couple weeks ago when we talked about it. How Jesus stands on the Mount of Olives. And he splits the Mount of Olives in two. and it breaks in half, and it creates a great rift. In fact, it's called a valley. And the Bible says when they see that the people of Israel are supposed to run into that valley. And that's where they go. And when they come out of that valley, it'll be a completely new circumstance. Everybody who's been going through the tribulation will have been poring over the prophets, will have been reading the Revelation, would have been saying, what is God doing? And He has given them the field manual in Revelation. But all of those prophets of old that the Israelites were more familiar with, they would be able to begin to put brick to brick like Paul did when he got saved. Man, he got saved and suddenly everything began to pop. He's put Jesus in after the road to Damascus experience, and he began to say, you cannot believe what I'm seeing here. Jesus is awesome. He is the Messiah, and I will live by that truth, and I will die by that truth if need be, and Jesus is the King, and I will do whatever I can to champion that cause. Listen, that's what has to happen to us. We've got to let it take hold of us. The Bible says He's going to come, and the Lord will be the hope of His people at that point. No, we're going to run into that rift, and He will be the strength, literally the fortress of the children of Israel. So shall ye know, and you could say, thus shall you know, that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion. Because He's going to dwell there for 1,000 years. King Jesus, boots on the ground, physically, literally, in Jerusalem. He says, you will know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Jerusalem, my holy mountain. Then shall Jerusalem be holy, and there shall be no strangers pass through her anymore. Now understand, when it says strangers, the idea is like immigrants who have no right to be there. Okay, so even in that time, there's going to be no strangers. Now largely because this new unfolding of the new nations and all that being brought up and procreating for 1,000 years. But no strangers coming through. And the Bible says that it will be holy. Jerusalem and Judah, they hadn't been really making much of a holy splash forever, you know, only David, maybe a little while under Solomon until he got carried away with his nonsense. Very few, Ezra and Nehemiah, there was a couple of moments, you know, on the upswing when they were doing the right thing and the joy of the Lord was their strength. But these people, man, they had a rough history. But you know what's going to happen for 1,000 years? The Bible tells us in other places that the testimony of their righteousness will eclipse all of the silliness that we read about in the Old Testament, where they're in the wilderness, they've seen the parting of the Red Sea, and they're complaining against God. What's that? Wait a minute. In Egypt, wait a minute. The whole army, you're wow. I can't believe you're doing that. But in the Millennial Kingdom, they're going to be holy. The whole mountain's going to be holy. They're going to have holiness to the Lord on all of their stuff. No check marks for them, man. No 3 stripes from Adidas. No Nike. Holiness to the Lord. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the mountains shall drop down new wine. That's sweet wine. And it says, and the hills shall flow with milk. Rivers of Judah shall flow with waters. The fountain shall come forth out of the house of the Lord and shall water the valley of Shittim. Now, what you see in the valley of Shittim is, you may not know this connection, but this is the place where the Moabitish women went in and seduced all of Israel when they were coming around the mountain thinking, you know, we're going to get in there, we're going to take the land. And Balak called Balaam and said, curse them. What happened here is God consecrated one of the most foul pieces of ground in history of Israel. He says, there's going to be water coming forth and shall even water the valley of Shittim. Do you know what that means? That means that God can sanctify your wounds. He can take whatever has been in you and in me that has hamstrung us and hurt us and wounded us, and He can take that and make something beautiful even out of that. That's hard to imagine, but God can do that. He can take a sinner and He can turn him into a saint. That's a beautiful thing. This gets better, by the way. That's just one thing, but that's a pretty big one. If you want some verses on that, I'll give them to you quickly. If you were to look it up in Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1, you'll see it mentioned where that happened. And Micah chapter 6 verse 5. Those are two places where the Valley of Shittim are mentioned. In verse 19 it says, Egypt shall be a desolation, Edom shall be a desolate wilderness for the violence against the children of Israel because they shed innocent blood in their land. These two groups of people were people who actually, when the people of Israel were being under attack in the past, they would run one way or the other, and these were supposed to be their brethren. And they slaughtered them as they ran, and they spoiled their goods. God's got a long memory, that's what I'm telling you. The Bible says in verse 20, but Judah shall dwell forever. These people are going to be a desolation, but Judah shall dwell forever. If you were to look at Isaiah 34, the Bible says the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, His fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. The Bible says in 34 verse 4, it says, and all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down. So we know it's the same circumstance we're reading here. And in Isaiah chapter 34, verses 8 to 10, it says, for it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. It says, and the streams thereof shall be turned to pitch. That's like molten tar. It says, and the dust thereof shall be turned to brimstone, and the land thereof shall be burning pitch, and it shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever. From generation to generation it shall lie waste. None shall pass through it forever and ever. What am I referencing? The desolation of Egypt and the desolate wilderness of Edom. God's going to have what we call scorched earth during the millennial kingdom. We're going to have this everlasting joy on the brow of every believer, everlasting joy in the midst of the glorified saints that we will be when we're there. It's going to be joy unspeakable and full of glory. But as you walk on this ball of dirt, there's going to be brush fires that are going to be smoking. And you're going to say, what's that? He said, that's Edom. Well, what happened? And he'll tell this story. What's that? Well, that's not Edom. That's Egypt. What's happening? Well, there again, you have God's witness and testimony about what's going on in the past. And he says, I'm the king, and you're happy, and the land is good, and there's water, and there's new wine, and there's blessing. Because that's what Jesus does. He makes everything work. The Bible says they will dwell forever in verse 20 in Jerusalem from generation to generation. Now here's the best verse in the whole passage. It says, for I will cleanse their blood. Why is Jerusalem and Judah going to live forever, exist forever, dwell forever? Because I will cleanse their blood that I have not cleansed. For the Lord will dwell in Zion. What is he saying? You know, they had their Savior. They had their prophets, but they had their Savior. And they said, crucify him. His blood be upon us and our children. And the Bible says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, lest you be wise in your own conceits. And this is Romans chapter 11. He's talking to Gentiles. He says, you think you got it going on? The Jews were losers and you're on top and they're jerks. No, no, no. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery. Lest you should be wise in your own conceits. That blindness in part has happened unto Israel. Listen, until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. What happens then? Then the natural olive branch is grafted back in. Israel's saved in a day. And the blood of their blood guiltiness is cleansed. And because it's a whole nation we're talking about here, I want you to know that your blood guiltiness and my blood guiltiness for people that we stumbled in toward the wrong and the evil, and even though we got saved, they kept going on our influence and our impact. Jesus can cleanse your blood guiltiness too. Don't you want that? Don't you want that? The day of the Lord is going to be a terrible day. But Jesus will be the fortress. Jesus will be the hope. Jesus will be the one who will see even the Gentiles who run to, you know, Jesus. They will get redemption in those days. Revelation 7 assures us. They were saved out of every tribe and nation and people and tongue. Revelation 5 tells us. During the tribulation. You don't want to go through it, though. You want to be right with him now. Would you bow with me for a moment?
Well, that concludes this week's series of messages. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. We so appreciate sharing with you these daily broadcasts. And I hope you can join us again next week. But Sunday is coming. We'd love to have you join us for worship. Our services begin at 10:30, and we hope you'll consider dropping by this Lord's Day in person as we go to the Word.